The past couple of weeks, we have talked a little bit about the difference between apocalyptic and prophecy. And I know that that's a slightly technical topic, but it's important for understanding the texts that we encounter. Now, as I've told you before, apocalyptic sort of says, here's the big picture spiritual dynamic in the world. The big picture spiritual dynamic, one that probably none of us individually is going to do anything about. Not that none of us have the ability to do much about it. But apocalyptic says, so here's the big picture, and here's a promise. So apocalyptic gives us a promise to hold on to through tough times, through spiritual dynamics that we don't shape in the life of the world. Prophecy, on the other hand, says, here's a spiritual dynamic that's going on. You can make a difference. You can keep doing what you're doing, and this dynamic will play itself out. Or you could do something different and create a different result. Prophecy suggests alternative possibilities, things that we can do something about, either individually or collectively. So the gospel that we just heard today is prophecy. It's not apocalyptic. John comes and he's got things to say. And he's describing sort of the need of the day and what people can do about it. And it's interesting to me that the leaders come out, these leaders of the people come out, And John says, you know, you brood of vipers. Not the way to start a sermon. But he says, you brood of vipers. And when we call somebody a viper, what we're saying is they're malicious. They're manipulative. They're up to creating something, making something happen against other people's wills. And it's interesting to me that one of the things that is lacking in the accusation of viper is self-honesty. You have to sort of not be in touch with how manipulative you're being in order to be that manipulative. Right? So the prescription that John gives is, all right, so here's the dynamic. Y'all are being vipers. So why don't you bear fruit worthy of repentance? And I think it's fascinating that that's what he recommends, because repentance is, among other things, one of the most self-honest things we can do. Right? To repent, I have to be honest about what I've been up to. I have to be honest about my mixed motives. I have to be honest about my sins and my plotting and my pursuing power or control. So that the recommendation that John makes about repentance is precisely meant to match his critique, his analysis of the spiritual dynamic of these leaders. You're being vipers, try some self-honesty, and things will be different. It's a fascinating thing to look at and see him acting like I say, prophecy is a lot like spiritual direction. Here's the spiritual dynamic. What are you going to do about it? And he gives a concrete suggestion. Now, one of the things that happens in church, when we talk about repentance, or we talk about judgment, or we use any of these kinds of language that John's using, you know, Jesus coming with fire and his winnowing fork in his hand, and we hear that, and we make a mistake. And the mistake that we make is that we hear the word judgment, but what we think of is condemnation. Right? We hear the word judgment, But what we really think is condemnation. If Jesus is going to come to be our judge, he's going to come and tell me how bad I am. Right? It's not that he's going to judge, it's that he's going to condemn. We mix those two words and those two ideas. But judgment is an analysis. It's making a decision about a dynamic. So when you go to the doctor and the doctor asks you what's been going on and the doctor gives you some tests and the doctor comes up with a judgment, we call it a diagnosis. But what your doctor has done is she or he has come up with a judgment about what's going on with you, and that is the precursor to being able to treat the illness. So a judgment is not the same as a condemnation. If we thought about judgment with our doctors the way we think about it sometimes with God, it would be like our doctors doing a test and analyzing and then telling us, well, you're bad and wrong and you're going to die because you're bad and wrong. Right? You didn't eat healthy food, you're going to die. It's your own fault. We wouldn't stick very long with a doctor who did that, would we? Right? The same is true for God. Right? The idea, the imagery of Jesus coming with fire is an imagery of purification, of burning out the chaff and letting the gold be all shiny and fresh. The winnowing fork is the same. It allows you to get the wheat, which you're going to eat, and get the chaff out of the way. And so the idea there is precisely that when Jesus comes as one who baptized with fire and with his winnowing fork in his hand, is that he is going to help you get rid of the things that hinder you, that hold you back, that trip you up. He's going to help you work on your stuff, your sins, your weaknesses. And quite frankly, I'd rather have Jesus helping me with those. That's useful, right? I could use help with all of those. We all could. So that there is a promise in what's being said. And I think that's why John was effective. Yes, he stood out on the shores of the Jordan and he preached a baptism for the remission of sin, and from all reports, people came out in droves and they got down in the water with John and they let him dunk them. Why? It had to be because he was giving them a hopeful word. If John was just there saying, you're no good, you've never been any good, you never will be any good, I doubt that many people would show up. He was giving something else. He was giving possibility. He was opening up hope. And if you look at the message that we heard today, it is full, underneath John's cranky language, it's full of hope. He's telling people forgiveness is possible. He's telling people purification is possible. He's telling people God is acting decisively in your life to make it better. There's a lot of hope in John's prophecy. There's a lot of hope. And we have to recognize that. We have to realize that always, always, always the message is one of liberation and hope. When we talk about Jesus coming and making possible repentance and the forgiveness of sins, that's a liberation from the things that hold us back. That's a hope. When we talk about Jesus coming and overcoming death, taking on our life all the way to death and making it a part of God's life, that's a liberation that liberates us from death being the end. The message of Jesus is always one of liberation. Even when the message is, try out some repentance, some self-honesty, find some forgiveness,
Because it's available. It's readily available. The message is always liberation, even when it's given by a wild man with cranky language.